Like to say thank you to, is it Haley? Haley, first time ever coming in. Is it first time ever playing in there? Second time ever. Well, second time. Well, first time, second time ever. It's the same really, isn't it? Not really. It's second time ever Haley comes. Thank you, and thank to all the students, all of you who come. Michelle and Stephen are your mum and your dad. They are the best ever people here in this church. They're amazing, that ministry that they started with students. So be good to her. Any kindness that you want to show to Michelle needs to pass by me first. Chocolates, anything like that, you'll need to. Okay. Those of you who emailed me in the last few weeks, months, in the end I had to give in because some of you wanted to have the outlines that I usually do. Some of you use them for your devotional time, some of you use it in connect groups, some of you use them in different aspects, sharing whatever you want to do with them. It does take time for me personally to do a PowerPoint and to do also an outline, which means that I have to have a lot of discipline to think about the message beforehand, to be able to preach according to the outline, according to that stuff. So I can't go rumbling, I need to keep to the script. So I thought for a while I'll try not to do that and just preach, yeah? And some of you have come back to me with vengeance. You say, you want this. So what I did, instead of giving you week by week, I'm doing one that is monthly. So have you all got one of those this morning? If you haven't got one, is anybody here who hasn't got one and would like one? Yeah, fiber. Then if you keep your hand up, Karen, are you going to get some more? Yes, Karen is going to get some more. How many hands? 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 9. Bring 20, just in case. I feel a revival is coming on. And what I did, guys, it's up to now, you'll see that is the vision there of our church here with the focus right at the bottom. We are here to be disciples, to become disciples, to make disciples. That comes out of the vision. Yes, you may. No, I'm still becoming. Hands up so Karen can see you. Hands up. So you will see the vision there we start with, and I forgot actually to put an introduction. I did an introduction to the Acts of Apostles, to the whole book, but it is on our website. So look at lancasterbaptistchurch.org.uk, not the one in Pennsylvania. By the way, one of the ministers from Lancaster Baptist Church came this summer here from America. I wasn't around. He came and he met Karen, our church secretary. He said hello, and later on, lo and behold, at the beginning of September, he sent me two lovely books that the gentleman wrote. And one of them was on generosity, what we're talking about today. So, you'll have the outlines here. I wrote for the first four messages. I wrote what I've been preaching on, some of the snippets, some of the nuggets there, some of the pearls, spiritual pearls, they are there. Now, from now on, right in the middle of the page, we start the message in Acts 4, which is part 6 today. It's for you to put your own notes. I'll be interested to see, after I preach, what notes you made. If you heard one sermon, or you've heard two sermons, what the Lord is saying to you through me, or what the Lord is saying through you, just to you and put it on the side. It never amazed me how, whenever I preach and bring God's word, if I were to ask what you understood from it, probably, I don't know, 100 people here, there'll be 100 different views on everything. So that's what it is, guys. You'll get this. Now, at the end of the series, what I do, I'll probably put everything together and give it to you again as a booklet. And then you can contrast and look at that and compare it to your notes up to then. Do you find this helpful or not? Yes? Then my work is not in vain. I labor in vain. Yes, excellent, thank you. So you can now see the stuff there, you can hear it, and you can also write it down. So it's all there for you. So let's dwell for a little bit, dwell into this and digging into what I want to talk about, living by giving. showing an extravagant lifestyle of generosity. We are called as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to live by faith, and that's expressed in two big things. One is prayer. We are called to live a prayerful life as disciples of Jesus Christ, and one is in our generosity. Now, you remember what the Acts of Apostle is all about. It's that book that was written by Luke as the second installment of Volume 2 after he wrote the Gospel of Luke, in order to register, to record now all the things that the Holy Spirit is doing in and through the church since Jesus has left, has ascended into the presence of God. So this is what Jesus says to them: you stay there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit on you, and then once the Holy Spirit comes in, you can go. You can go and be my disciples. You can be my witnesses all over the world. And so the church went, because we've seen some characteristics of the early apostolic church, some incredible characteristics of that beautiful church. It's and you will see on your notes that I wrote there, and I told you, those of you who were here before, is it really the birth of the church at this time, or is it the empowering of the church? I tend to say it's the second. The church was already there, whether it was through Adam and Eve at the beginning, then to the nation of Israel, and now it's multiplying. The new Gentiles people are grafted in. So it's more the empowerment of the church with the Holy Spirit of God to continue to do the works that Jesus did. They are recorded, are shown, registered, written out in Luke. So we see that they go throughout the world now. You have the authority, Jesus says, to go in my name and teach and baptize all over the world. They know they will become a witness without borders. They preach with boldness. Peter stood up. Peter, who denied Jesus Christ, had a relationship with Jesus, was a little bit not that close, not intimate. In the end, he is the guy who fulfills the prophetic anointing that Jesus put on him. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And he did that with boldness in 2:39, when he stood up and said, "Man, you who crucified Christ, this Jesus Christ that you crucified is gone up to heaven, but he will come back again. Believe and be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They preach with boldness. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They met together weekly, daily, and break bread. They read the word and they prayed together. They had a very joyful attitude. So they, when they were meeting, their hearts were full of joy. Full of joy. In the midst of persecution. You know, and this is not aimed at a criticism at the UK church, but the greatest joy I have ever experienced in a church, do you know when it is? Or where it was? When I grew up as a small young man in the then persecuted Romanian church under the communist regime, when we had to go and meet after 9 o'clock every Sunday evening in the cold and the wind and the rain of Romania. We used to go and hide ourselves in small little houses, in small little rooms, for the fear of persecution. That was the greatest joy I have ever experienced of a church. In the midst of that difficult time, persecution time, I've experienced the joy of getting together with believers. I was only about 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years old at the time. What a privilege that was. I will never forget to people coming together to express their joy, their hope in such difficult circumstances. They had a faith beyond belief. It is in Acts of Apostles that I said to you that there are 30 miracles. And they happen over the 30 years. Acts of Apostles is written and records the fact of 30 years. And a miracle happened when Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost. When a crippled man was healed at the gate of beautiful gate of the temple. Every time the word of God was preached was preceded by a miracle. It wasn't done for the sake of having a miracle or because Peter now was in power of the Spirit and wanted to show off how Pentecostal he is or charismatic he is, but because he was a preparation for the Word of God to be preached. They had a faith beyond belief. They saw the miraculous happen, healing and everything they missed. They submit themselves to authority. John and Peter have been arrested. And they submitted to that. And they went and became a witness there. Then they stand together for the truth in their midst. When Jesus was taken before Pharisees, so John and Peter was taken before the Sadducees, the other party. Jesus had the Pharisees, the enemy. Now the church had the Sadducees. They stand together for the truth. And what we found that in the midst of that persecution, in the midst of that very difficult time, the church stood together in prayer. In prayer. The church didn't march. They didn't get their placards out, but they came together and prayed, and the place shook. Absolutely incredible. And this is where we are. So many characteristics of early church. But today, I want to talk to you about another incredible characteristics of the church. And as I said at the beginning of this message, two things that the church, or early church, has been built on. Prayer. That they will seek out the work in the midst of very difficult circumstances, and generosity, a very generous spirit. I love it when he says, where does he say here, in verse 32, all the believers were in one heart and mind. Listen, we live in a society that he says, Daniel, what is mine is mine. What is yours, whose is it? Mine, isn't it? And if you have anything else, it will still be mine. We live in a society that loves pleasure and comfort. We worship pleasure and comfort. We live in a society that worships safety. We want our pensions to be surely in place before we come to that time. We live in a society the worships materialistic world, including myself, part of that. We live in a society that puts ourselves, me, before anyone else. The churches we will see now in the next few minutes in the early apostolic shape, form of mission at that time, live for the other. And that was, if it's one characteristic of all those that I described to you this morning, that separates the early church from all the other religions there were at that time, that separates the Christian from all the cultural setting around them, all the other things that were happening around them, there is just one thing: they were generous. A generous people, a generous Christian, just generous disciples of Jesus Christ. Let me read you something that I found recently. There was a man in the second century, so this is about 100 years later from the Acts of Apostles, by the name of Dionysius, who wrote about the common life among people in the pagan culture of that time. It was estimated that in the Roman Empire, every town, village, and city faced a major calamity on about 13 years, whether it was earthquake, whether it was famine, whether it was illness, whether it was war. Every 13 years, the Christians suffered something. The society went through something very, very difficult. Because cities in those days were constructed with such flammable materials, everything used to burn or collapse very, very quickly. So a lot of people were killed in earthquakes, where fire was started, and so on. And Dionysius wrote these words: the pagans thrust aside anyone who began to be sick and kept a distance, even from their dearest friends, their moms and their dads or their children, if they had suffering. If they had leprosy, they were cast in the ditches and left them unburied. to die someone alive. Now let me read you something that in the midst of such terrible atmosphere, it shows and illustrates what the Christians did. This is a guy who was called, I forgot what his name was called, but he wrote this. The only people in those days, generally, who stood up for what they believed and acted out of charity and love and generosity were the Christians. For 3 centuries, the Christian movement expanded in one of those dramatic periods of growth in Christian history. They were the ones who were going to the ditches and taking those who were alive out, touching their wounds, cleaning them, and putting soothing cream. The Christians were the ones who were going in and feeding the hungry in the ditches. They were the ones who continued to glorify Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And many whom they touched became believers. A huge contrast. A society where believers shows us this. It can be a me culture, where if you're disposable, if you're not good anymore, where you are cared for and loved even in the ditch of despair. Generosity, when I talk about, usually comes to mind that, oh, the pastor is after our money this morning. Generosity is a gift, an opportunity that shows God's grace to us. The church in early stages in Acts of Apostles had a ministry of generosity built on the unity of mind and that of spirit, of heart. An incredible testimony. There was I don't know where I've heard this, but it was this story of a gentleman who goes to a family on the door and he says, knocks on the door and he says, I'm collecting some money for a very unfortunate family in the neighborhood. The husband is out of work, the wife is at home with 3 kids, they have nothing to eat, and soon the electric and the gas is going to be cut off completely, and what's worse, they are going to be kicked out this afternoon, right out of their apartment, as such, if they don't pay the rent by 3 o'clock. And so this lady, as she opened the door and hear these words, says, I'm so sorry, said this lovely mum, with a huge concern on her face, and says, I'll be happy to help, but who are you? So, well, I'm the landlord. We live in a society that it asks for its own. Give me back. And usually generosity is associated with the fact that if I give, I need to get something back at all times. When I give, unless there is something else for me, then I will not continue with that. This is the foundation on which the church in its empowerment, early empowerment in the Acts of Apostles was built on, was the foundation of unity because of their generosity. You know, I mentioned that I grew up in communist era. Well, communism is different from, because some people come and tell you that this is communism here, socialism here. It isn't in the scripture. It's communism, is having in common, not communism. Communism was forced. This was deliberate with joy. This was given voluntarily. Communism, in other words, was saying what's your is absolutely mine. And sometimes it's only mine. Where communism is what is mine is yours. Completely different. It's not communism, it's communism here. A second thing that the church was built on in terms of generosity is that they were motivated by grace. Why were they giving so much? Why were they giving so generously? Because they understood what the grace of God did in their lives. They were motivated by the goodness, the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, as we heard this morning, of God. They were motivated by that in all its aspect. It says that the grace is the gift of God given to them through the Holy Spirit. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Much grace was upon them. That was the reason that they were giving, because they understood how great the love of God was in their lives. Martin mentioned that verse in Corinthians, that when you give with joy, not grudgingly, not with, have to give. And let me say, this is not just about money. It's about our gifting, about time, about all that God has called us to be part of a generous lifestyle. And it says that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold and brought the money from the sales, certified and put it in the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as had needed. And verse 35, absolutely amazing. The church revealed their generous hearts, not with words, but with concrete action. And certainly and finally, their ministry of generosity was expressed not just through sermons, not just through good advices, not just through prayer, not just to say, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, but in showing, literally showing all they had. All that God has given them, they put at the apostles' feet, in other words, at the church's use to be taken into the mission of God. What an incredible, generous spirit. What an incredible, generous picture we have here of the church. In 1 John says, dear children, let us not love with words and tongues, but with actions and in truth. Or in James says, suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? What are you willing to sacrifice for others? I stand here as your pastor to say thank you to you as a church for the 11 years that we had together and how long the Lord is going to give us in the future. Thank you for your generous spirit in obedience to the Lord, for using your gifting, for using your service, for using yourself and your time to see the mission of the church fulfilled, and indeed through it the name of God glorified. But it's more than that. We want to thank you for many, many other aspects of your generosity. And Steve is going to come to share that other aspect in terms of your generosity to us as a church, as a fellowship. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Billy. Billy gave me the opportunity to just say a few words. And those of you who don't know, I'm the treasurer here. I've been for quite a number of years now. Delighted to act in that capacity on your behalf. So yeah, Billy has asked me to say a few words. And I am going to concentrate a little bit on money, because sort of my role here as treasurer obviously involves that. And the first thing I'd like to say this morning is thank you, as Bill has said himself. Thank you for your ongoing financial support of the ministry mission of LBC in all its many forms. This is really appreciated. And it is the case that almost every aspect of our life together as church does have a financial dimension to it. And so the faithful, regular giving of the LBC family helps ensure that work and witness vast majority of our income as a church, over 83% of it, comes from voluntary giving, through the cash offerings on Sunday, boxes are always there, regular donations, principally through outstanding orders and one-off gifts. Again, thank you. Our other income, more than the 83%, mainly comes from letting out our church premises and property that we own. Our budget includes a wide range of expenditure items from rather mundane paying the gas and electricity bills. On average, it costs over £200 a week to heat and light and insure these buildings. And to maintain the buildings, which have been well here for well over 100 years, and of which we are the latest custodians, as we see these buildings very much the tool in our hands to facilitate our work here as a church. And also to the great privilege of supporting our ministries and missions here at LBC, and more widely too. And the churches have a long-standing policy of giving away at least 10% of its unrestricted income. And as I was reflecting on Amelian's current sermon series, I was drawn to the current sermon series from Acts. I was thinking about that verse from Acts 1, verse 8, which we saw on the screen before, where we see the church being witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it struck me that just as this verse shows the geographical spread of the gospel from the local to the regional to the national to the international, so it is with our grant giving as a church, from the money that we give away. Our giving supports our work here at LBC, of course, money that is used locally, with our own work in all these many forms, but we also do have the privilege of giving to other local and regional Christian work, like history, the schools work locally, Christians Against Poverty, who work to alleviate poverty locally and regionally, Friends International, working amongst international students locally and nationally, through to the regional and national work of Baptist Together Home Mission, and the international work of Stephanus Foundation, which we've been hearing about this morning, supporting the persecuted church in Nigeria and elsewhere, and then also to PMS World Mission and TFLs. These are just some of the examples of organisations outside of LBC that we regularly support, and we feel very privileged to be able to do that. I was also struck last Sunday evening by the words of our speaker at the Joint Baptist Church's service that took place in this room. It reminded us from 1 Colossians 1 that Paul prayed for the church in Colossae, even though he didn't know them personally. Similarly, we as a church were able to pray for and indeed give out of our resources to the church worldwide, even though we will never know the individuals who make up our church. I believe it's our privilege and indeed our responsibility to do that. So, on practical level, what does this mean? For those of us as church members, we know that one of the privileges and responsibilities of church membership is to give regular financial support to the church, and that's built into our constitution, our agreement with each other. Church members will also already have an insight into some of the finances of the church from the information I provide on a regular basis at church members' meetings. But as a reminder for us all, and for us together as a wider church family, just to remind you that the church budget assumes nearly £10,000 a month of income to cover the costs of the giving that we make. That budget does assume an increase in current levels of giving, and we already have a significant number of people who give regularly to church. And again, thank you so much for that. I do intend over the next couple of weeks to put together a note about the finances of the church. And as I've been drafting that, I've been looking again at the passages in 2 Corinthians 8-9, where Paul talks about giving in the context of it being our privilege to share. And our giving to be done willingly and cheerfully and generously, as we have mentioned this morning. I've been reminded too of the Bible account of the widow's offering. Night, which reminds us that it's the way that she gave, rather than what she had or indeed didn't have, that was so important. Thank you again for your financial support of the life and work of LBC.
Thank you, Steve. Excellent. Thank you. Yes, I echo that very much. You know, we're really grateful to you for supporting the mission and ministry. And I want to end with this point that brings everything together. The early church was so generous because they understood that what they have is not theirs, but is there to give in order to become a witness, was an instrument of witnessing to others. If prayer is the key to opening the door to a witness, then generosity is the hinge on which that door swings wide open. I just said that now. I don't know where it came from. Write it down in your notes and call me whenever you want on it. It's mine. It's not taken from the internet or anywhere else. Ask me to say it again. I can't. Write it down. But that's what generosity does. I echo again what Steve said. Thank you for your support to the ministry and mission of this church. Because when you do that, you're not supporting the minister and his wages as much as that will be part of it. You're not just supporting a ministry here and there and everywhere. But when you do that, you first of all become a witness to others. Secondly, that is your act of worship in the midst of a world that calls us to worship pleasure, money, and the rest. Your generous spirit shows that your heart is worshipping God and God alone. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the incredible characteristics that we've seen, we've heard, we've been witnessing of the early church. Thank you for those incredible courage that those people have. We pray that you will make us a bold church to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That you will make us a church who loves fellowship, who meets daily, devote to one another in breaking the bread and hearing your word with joy, with hope, with gladness. And as we do so, Father, we pray that you will make us a prayerful church. And as we pray, you will help us to get off our knees and continue to serve by showing a generous spirit to a world in which you're so full of self-centeredness, of me, me, me world. Lord, don't let us ever as a church become a me, me church. But we give everything away as a witness to you and to your name. Father, we pray that as we ask that as we pray and as we give, as we meet and as we hear and as we serve, your name will be glorified. Use us for your glory, we ask, and in the name of Jesus. Amen.